Today on Real Radio.
Let me ask you this question. How do you know, you personally, how do you know if Jesus is not going to turn to you and say, I know you cast out demons in my name. I know that you raised the dead in my name. I know that you preached in my name. I know that you gave in my name, but I never knew you. Depart from me.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letter known as 1 John. In verses 3 through 6 of the second chapter, the apostle lays out a specific litmus test to gauge whether or not we know God. Now, many say that they know Him, but the question is, do they truly meet the criteria? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a study called Knowing That We Know Him.
Jesus says, the Holy Spirit who dwells in you, He will teach you all things so that you'll have no need that any man teach you. In that moment, Jesus said, you will know what to say. Isn't that wild? That comes by the Holy Spirit working in you, God working in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. I'm so glad about that. There's no good thing, as the Scripture says, that dwells within us. Do you believe that? Tonight, we're getting ready to come, and I asked Rebecca, I said, can you move those shirts over to the other doorway? They were hanging, they're all wet, drying out, you know, drying in the air, and can you move those over? And I had my hands filled. We have this little baby naked bird that we're nursing back from, it fell out of the nest or something, I don't know. And so I had this thing in my hand, and I need this passageway here. Can you move the shirts? And the shirts fell down. And so I said, now you got to put those, hang them upright, straight. You got to put, just don't hang them all crooked. They're going to dry. You got to hang them straight. Well, it didn't come out that way. I just went, you got to, somebody, and she just goes, and I'm thinking, you know, gosh, for just a second, my lips were just flapping. And I'm like hearing the stuff come out and nothing's coherent. And I thought, God, I can't even ask her to hang my shirt upright without your help. It's like, what is that? And it was just, you know, it's funny because I said, you got to put that up there. And it's like, and then she starts laughing and I start laughing. I'm shaking my head. It's ridiculous. Do you realize we can't even walk without God's help? We can't do anything without Him. You said, I don't know. I get along pretty fine without Him. No, you don't. You need Him so bad. You need Him so much. We all do so much. We need Him. Regarding keeping His commandments are awesome and wonderful, people. His commandments. Notice that they're His. They're not man's. They're not men's traditions. They're His commandments. In John 10, verse 27, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. Now listen, and I know them, and they follow me. Think about that. They know my voice. They follow me. He inserts in the middle, and I know them. That wasn't necessary for him to say, but that's sweet. He could have said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. You know, that's a fact. Jesus says his people know his voice, they follow him. Did you know built into that verse is keeping his commandments? My sheep hear my voice. If they're hearing his voice, you know what that's going to mean? That the sheep follow him. And we've got to break this thinking that it means just follow him down a path. It means following everywhere he goes. If Jesus wants to go to the hospital, you go to the hospital. You see? If Jesus wants to go over there, you go over there. My sheep hear my voice, they follow me. Now, this is cool. Sheep are so tuned and in tune to the shepherd's voice that the shepherd can be out of sight. And the moment, by the way, the shepherd gets out of sight, the sheep begin to panic. They're hooting and hollering, all freaking out. They think their world's coming to an end. And then he'll either, honestly, I've seen this happen here even in Chino Hills. I've seen the shepherd where he doesn't even use his voice, he'll whistle. He'll whistle a certain little sound, a certain little string of notes, and the sheep will come running toward that sound. They know his voice. And they follow him. And it's to follow him wherever he goes. This is a wonderful thing. It's a liberating thing. It's exciting. It's fun. It's never boring. It's always dynamic. The Christian hears with an understanding, like a frequency that would be passing through this room. You would dial in and you would hear it with an understanding. You would tune it in and hear the news or the radio. The Christian follows because there's a purpose. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, the Bible says, "For to me," Paul says, "for to me to live is Christ." If I'm going to live in this life, Paul says, it's going to be for Christ. And then he says, "And to die, it's gain." That's great. He says, yep, you know what? In this life, I'm going to live and I'm going to follow Christ wherever he goes. For to me to live, it's Christ. Not for me to live, it's Paul. No, he says, it's Christ. "My sheep hear my voice," Jesus said, "they follow me." Let's go to the second point, verse 4. Knowing that we know him is characterized by self-examination as well. The Christian has to do this because the Holy Spirit will see to it. Verse 4 says, "He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Let's look at it this way. Because the truth of God does not abide inside the man's heart, literally in the Greek, his life is a lie. It doesn't mean he's telling stories. It doesn't mean he's telling lies. This word means his life is a lie. Why? Because he doesn't keep his commandments. Why? Because he doesn't know Christ. He says here, the man who says, "I know him," and does not keep his commandments, his life is a lie. The truth's not in him. It's very powerful. Self-examination. The Christian is always examining him or herself. How am I doing? Are you guys awake? It's so quiet. Self-examination. All of us, it's amazing how all of us have different personalities. Some of you are, I was going to say some of you are awesome. No, the fact is all of you are awesome if you're different than me. Think about it. I don't want anybody like me to minister to me because I know how I am. I'll explain that in a minute. But you, there are people in here tonight, they just you love to just doctor people, to nurse them, to get them back to health and to comfort them. And so the church needs you so badly. You're awesome. Then there are those of you who are just encouragers, man. You're just like, "Hey, what's happening? Oh, yeah, let's do it. We can do it. Come on. The Lord's going to give us the strength. He'll give us the ability. He'll give us the money. Let's go." You're just incredible to be around. And there are a multitude of personalities. And remember, Jesus died for your sins, not your personality. He made you who you are. "Well, I'm really quiet." That's because he wanted you that way. "Well, I don't like me." Well, that's probably pretty good. If you liked yourself, your head would probably be too big to get into the door. But me, personally, my thing is, after you've nursed them, after you've exhorted them and encouraged them, and they're ready, let me have them. That's me. That's where God's called me. And I'm terrible. I'm not good at hospital visitations. I'll walk in. "What's the matter?" "You look good. Let's go." "I don't see any blood. That means we can go." See, I'm terrible like that. You know, if you still have a thread hanging your arm on, that means we can come on, let's go. You know, it's terrible. I'm not good. I need your comfort that way. When somebody says, "You know, Jack, we need you at the hospital," I need to bring someone with me. Make me look good, you know. Walk in there. I have this thing about, let's go on this path like a rocket, and let's do it and get that thing to happen. And I'm a terrible teacher when it comes to like riding the bicycle. Come on, ride it. Just ride it. Go, ride it. Go. I'm assuming, and that's a weakness, I'm assuming that they know how to ride the bike. Go, do it. Go, go, go. That's wrong. That's not good. We examine ourselves. Lord, who am I? Who am I in you? Lord, am I growing in you? Is this walk with you and I, Lord, making any headway? Self-examination. You see the man in verse 4. He says he knows God. He's been religious all his life. He doesn't give much heed to the commandments of Jesus. Jesus says, love one another. He's a little bit prejudiced. He's a little bit whatever. And in fact, he's against Christ. Yet he says he knows Christ. I think verse 4 is found in a lot of lives and a lot of people in a lot of churches. Self-examination. It means to take a hard look at ourselves. Look what it says here. It says, he who says, I know. Guess what word that is? Experientially. He who says, I know Jesus, he's personally working in my life. And that's not true. You see, he uses the same word in verse 4 as he did in verse 3. The man who says, oh yeah, I'm just like that guy. I'm experiencing Christ. It's just words. He doesn't really experience Christ in his life, though he's very religious. Might be a big tither, might be a big server, might be a big whatever. But the fact is, he doesn't know the Lord. Very frightening. This word, examine, appears in 2 Corinthians 13:5. It says there, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Man, listen up to that. Paul the Apostle says, examine yourself, Christian, to see if you're even in the faith. Test yourselves, he says. Do you not know yourselves that Christ Jesus is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Isn't that a strong verse? He says, test yourself. Examine yourself, Christian. That's what Paul says. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken unto him like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does them will be like, or doesn't do them, I should say, will be like the foolish man who's built his house on the sand. If you're going to build a strong house, a strong foundation, if you're going to test and examine your relationship with Christ, you've got to be building on the rock. Why? Because there's that danger that those who are building houses spiritually can be building them on the sand. How will we know? By self-examination. Am I really in the faith? If you were to die, whoever you are tonight, just you, if you were to die tonight, would anybody miss you in the Christian church? I don't mean miss you like they notice your seat's empty. I mean miss you because you're needed. Now, hear this. You are needed. But are you experiencing Christ in the way that the ministry that you give is much beloved by at least another person? Examine yourself. This word examine means to scrutinize, to search hard. The word is also assay. You know what assay means? If you were in metallurgy, to assay, you can go to assayers' offices up in Northern California in the gold rush country, where you find gold and you take it to the assayer, and the assayer puts it there, he weighs it, and then he pours acid on it. And it strips away all of the dross and exposes the true gold. That's what this word means, to assay. To have acid poured on your life and have the gold come through. Man, that's strong words. This is what I need to do in my life, examine myself to see if I'm in the faith. Also, listen, verse 4, self-examination, we need to be listening to our words and the way we live our life, because it says here that this man who says that he knows Jesus personally but doesn't is in fact living a lie. His life is a lie. To profess Christ and possess Christ is two different things. You can profess all you want, but do you possess him? If you don't, Your life is a lie. Listen, when the Bible says this, and I'm going to read it to you. When the Bible says this, Jesus is speaking, therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonderful works in your name? And then he says, I will respond to them and say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. How do you know? How do I know? How do you know that you're not going to wind up like that? How do you know that? If the Bible says these things are written that you might know you have eternal life, and it does say that, you know. If any of you in here are thinking about, well, you can't really know if you're going to be saved or not until it's over. That, first of all, is not biblical. And second of all, if you're going to wait till then, you need to read the fine print. In Hebrews 9:27, it says you're too late. No, you're going to know it now. Jesus says, my peace give I unto you, not as the world gives, but my peace I give you. How can you have the peace of God if you don't know you're saved? How can you have the joy of the Lord if you don't know you're saved? It's impossible. Let me ask you this question. How do you know, you personally, how do you know if Jesus is not going to turn to you and say, I know you cast out demons in my name. I know that you raised the dead in my name. I know that you preached in my name. I know that you gave in my name, but I never knew you. Depart from me. How do you know he's not going to say that to you? Let me read another one. When the Bible says in John 15, where Jesus says, I am the vine, the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bring forth more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them together and throw them into the fire and they are burned. I want to ask you this question. How do you know that you're not going to wind up like that? In the Bible it says, Jesus said in Revelation 3:5, he who overcomes shall be clothed with white garments, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. How do you know tonight if Jesus is going to confess your name before his Father on that day of judgment? How do you know? You see, John is writing to a church of Christian believers who knew the answer to those questions. They knew it. If tonight you say, I'm experiencing Jesus Christ, and your life is vacant and void, then that's probably you in these passages that I've read. You see, God won't even deny his name, even when it's used by a stranger. Well, how can I be sure? John's argument is the Christian can be recognized because he is keeping the commandments of Jesus Christ, period. Well, I thought I wasn't saved by the law. We're not talking about the law. We're talking about what Paul called the law of love, the letter of love. We're not talking Old Testament law. We're talking about New Testament walk. Examine yourself, he would say. Characterized by love, quickly, verse 5, but whoever keeps his word, truly, the love of God is perfected or made complete in him. By this we, here's the word again, experientially know. We experience knowing that we are in him. Very, very wonderful. So the love, the spirit of love is to be in the life of the Christian, not the letter of the law. Love triumphs over the law. The spirit of love in verse 5. And in verse 6, knowing that we know him, it's characterized by an outward example. He who says he abides in him, that is in Christ, ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Our outward example is this. It's by what we say. It says, he who says he abides in him. He who says, if the man is affirming that he knows Christ, confessing the truth, that he knows Christ, in fact, Christ is living in him. And that's evident by those who watch him. That man is a Christian. Is there fruit coming forth? From the Christian there will be. Always. James 3:11 says, does a spring send forth fresh water and salt water at the same time? No. He says, can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives? No to that. Or a grapevine bear figs? No. Thus, no spring can yield both fresh or salt water at the same time. The Christian, you'll know, because the Christian will keep Jesus' commands. Listen, the Lamb of God, you will know. You'll recognize if you're a lamb because you're not a goat. Remember when Jesus says, the scripture says, the sheep he will put on one side and the goats on the other? And you're thinking, oh, I hope I'm not a goat. Well, look what goats eat. Look what goats do. Goats will eat anything. Sheep will only eat certain things. Goats are bold and rambunctious. Sheep are naturally shy and they get lost easily. They need a shepherd. You're either a sheep tonight or you're a goat tonight. Examine yourself. Take a look and see. Find out. And if you're a goat, I'd do everything possible to become a sheep. And that's to call on the shepherd. And it says finally in verse 6, ought himself, he, the Christian, ought himself also to walk just as Jesus walked. If there was ever a verse that defined these bracelets and these necklaces that say, what would Jesus do, WWJD, it's that verse. It's 1 John 2, verse 6. That's what it means. Ought himself also to walk just as Jesus walked. And that's only possible, friend, by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, producing the fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians, where the Bible says there that the fruit of the Spirit is love. By the way, everything else that comes after that verse is flowing out of love. For the fruit of the Spirit is love. Is there love in my life? Then comes joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ Jesus's have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, taking us through part of 1 John chapter 2. It's one of the passages where the apostle lays out a specific test to help us gauge whether or not we know God. The title of this lesson, Knowing That We Know Him. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look into these three New Testament letters penned by the apostle John himself, one of the closest apostles and friends of Jesus of Nazareth. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, a couple of months back, I sat down with Pastor Jack and his wife, Lisa, to talk about their brand new book called Turnaround at Home. Maybe you heard the discussion right here on Real Radio. Turnaround at Home is all about breaking those generational patterns. If you have kids, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We see those things that our parents did, and we vowed never to do them, only to show up with the same actions and the same attitudes. Well, if you're a parent, or maybe a soon-to-be one, and you've wondered, how am I going to break or move beyond that family pattern that I had growing up? That's what this book is all about. It really was a great discussion. Just visit realradioactive.org to hear it again if you haven't already. We got quite a large response, and readers reported back to us, telling us how much they appreciate the valuable and godly insight conveyed in this book. So, once again, we're going to make it our special offer just in time for Christmas. Here's the deal. We'll send you Turnaround at Home, the new book written by Pastor Jack and Lisa Hibbs, for your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. That's right, any amount to Real Radio. Of course, it might be a good idea to make your request right away to ensure that the book gets to you by Christmas time. Whether you call, click, or write, ask for the book by name, Turnaround at Home. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or visit realradioactive.org to place your gift and request Turnaround at Home, the new book written by Pastor Jack and Lisa Hibbs. If you'd like to write to us, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.